Second John, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." John wrote his first letter, 1 John, to believers in general. He did not address any one particular person or any one particular household, but this second letter, he writes to an elect lady and to her children. He does not address her by name, so it's impossible for us to know who she is or even where she lived. But based on the content of John's letter, one thing we know for sure about this lady, we know one thing about her true identity. We know that she was a believer in Jesus Christ, that she knew Christ as her Savior, and John loved her in her service to the Lord. John expresses to her and to us how the gospel, the truth, how it affects us. It attracts us to one another, and it acts as a bond because of our mutual love for our Savior, Jesus Christ. You ever had an experience where you met somebody, you began to talk to them, and you didn't really know why? There seemed to be a connection, and you could just kind of, you were talking, and there didn't seem to be any barriers. Well, throughout the conversation, you found out one thing to be true, is that they knew Christ, the same Christ that you know. And that's why there was that mutual relationship, and that's why there were no barriers. Well, this is the type of lady I could envision this being for John, is that perhaps John met her traveling through a city. Perhaps she was in a place where he established a church. Perhaps she hosted he and those who traveled with him as they traveled between cities. I don't know exactly what her relationship was, but we know one thing to be true, is that she was a believer in Jesus Christ. And I have entitled our review of the first six verses of this letter to the elect lady as the believer's bond, because I do believe that there is a bond that we find, that we have between believers, because we know the same Jesus Christ. But I believe that this bond comes with a responsibility, and those are my 2 points today. We are bound by what we know to be true. And we are bound to do what we know to be true. That's one thing that this bond does for us as believers. Let's get into it now, that first point, that we are bound by what we know to be true. Once again, John says in 2 John 1, 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the Lord, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." John calls his Christian friend the elect lady. And as I said, you could read a lot of commentaries, and there are a lot of opinions. I think that once you read all those opinions, you end up right back where you started, knowing that she was a believer, that she was a Christian lady, we really don't know who she was. But what we do know about her is that she was a believer. She was a lady of like faith, and she and John had a bond through their mutual faith in God. And John's writing to this elect lady also helps us to disprove those who want to betray the church as anti or against women. You know, there are so many people who want to say that, you know, that in their effort to try to discredit the Word of God, that the Word of God sees ladies or women as second-class citizens. And there's nothing in the Bible that speaks to that. And here John, when he speaks to this woman, he calls her an elect lady. He honors her because of her faith. And John most definitely here does not speak down to her, but he lifts her up as one who shares in the same truth as he does and who stands on equal ground, proving for us that God has no respect of persons. He does not. Now, John declared that he loved her. He loved her in the truth. And that love was extended by all who knew the Lord, for they too loved her in the truth. That is, they loved her in and through the gospel. In verse 2, he says, for the truth's sake, that's why they loved her, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Now, we can see this same love, this same mutual bond that believers have when we read any of the apostles and their letters as they write to those who they've had an opportunity to minister to. Today I chose to show you this bond as we look at how we're bound to do what we know is true. I chose to look at Paul and how he spoke to the church at Colossae. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1. That's on page 869 in your pew Bible. John told the elect lady that he loved her for the sake of the truth, because that was God's calling. That it was God's desire that the believers have a bond one with another, that we be able to serve one another and meet the needs of one another. And he says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, that's the reason why I love you, because that is what God commanded. Paul, in his letter to the church at Colossae, he said this, which I believe displays the same point. Colossians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, who do we pray for? We pray for those who have our hearts. And he's talking about a love for them. He says, we came in contact with them and we prayed for them. Why do we pray for one another? Because we are of equal faith. We love the Lord, and thereby God has shown us how to love one another. And we lift up one another's names in prayer before the Lord, asking that he might do his will in each one of our lives. Here he says, we pray for you. We pray for you because our hearts are with you. He says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. He loved them for the sake of the truth. He says, verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And that's the bond right there. We're bound by what we know is true. God saves all those who will surrender before him. Verse 6, he says, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. He says it was the word of God, the truth of the word of God, that made a transition in your lives. And he says, now you're like me. You're loving folks for the sake of the gospel. He says, as you have learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now do you see the bond that as believers that God expects for us to have one for another? He says we're to be selfish about one another, almost is what he's saying, that we're to be so drawn to one another that we would pray for one another in this way, that since I heard that you were a believer, I have not stopped praying for you, desiring that you might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Amen. You know that it is the feeling of the knowledge of the will of God that changes. That changes people. That's what changes people. Just this week I had an opportunity to share the gospel too. And I too walked away thinking, how in the world could you not just grab on to this great and wonderful truth that God has laid before you? That's why it's so important when we get it. Now that we know that each other has it, that we ought to pray. Lord, I pray that you will just get them stronger. And stronger and stronger in what is the will of God, so that they might know you personally. They might know what your expectations are. But he says, since we heard it, verse 9 again, he says, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, where does the credit lay for this transformation? This, how is it that Paul could have this newborn desire to pray for others who are walking after Christ as he is walking after Christ? He says in verse 12, here's where the credit belongs. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or he has given us the opportunity. He has enabled us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He says, God showed me that. God showed me his expectation, and through his love for me, I learned how to love others. Bound together, because God has given us that desire through his word. I believe as believers, we are called upon to love one another because we understand that Christ loves us. And that love should have no boundaries. And that love is a transforming love that causes us to be able to lay aside that which has been might have been ingrained in us for our entire lives before Christ. You know, there are things that our earthly baggage. Flip over to Romans 12, if you would, page 838. But you know that there's baggage that all of us carry around. Things that have been taught to us from our youth. Some things are superstitions that might have been ingrained in us when we were young. Some things might be like prejudices that might have been ingrained in us since we were young. Some traditions that might have been ingrained in us since we were young. But when we become believers in Jesus Christ, then God's call for us to love one another should override all of those things that might have been deeply ingrained in us. And we should become a new creature. We should be changed, because that is what God is calling upon us to do. He says we're bound by what we know to be true based on the word of God. We are bound by what we know to be true. And when Paul was writing to the church at Rome, that is, I believe, the point that Paul was trying to get across to them when he began in this portion that we have called chapter 12 of his letter to the church at Rome. In verse number 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you allow your bodies to be transformed. He says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, why is our reasonable service? Because it is reasonable to lay down our life for others, because God has laid down his life for us. This is a commandment that we should love. And God says, they will know that you are my servants by your heart, by what you do, by what you show. And he says, this is our reasonable service. In verse number 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, there might be things that you thought were true, that you thought were right, things that you thought were biblical even. But now you have discovered through the word of God what God says. And he says, I have laid all those things aside. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is talking about brand new creatures. He's talking about brand new creations. He's talking about brand new thoughts, brand new actions. He's talking about a love that transcends all things. He says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, God says, they will know you are Christians by your love. Will you be transformed? Will you be transformed? You know, I think that one of the issues in our being able to understand the knowledge of the will of God can sometimes be our refusal to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, we got to let some things go so that we can really get in touch with who God would have us to be. And that's what God is talking about. He says, you can prove it. You know, I think that we can hold God to the standard of his own word when we challenge God to do great things through us. Show me, God. Show me what I can be through you if I will just give myself completely over to you. Verse number three, he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now here's where God's call for us to love one another. He says, yeah, we got a lot of things going on, and there are a lot of us, and we're doing different things. You know, I like the way the Bible puts it. It says that God gave some preachers, some teachers, some apostles, some evangelists. And God is talking about he gave all of us different things that we could do as a part of his ministry. But he says all of us are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, he says. We're bound to do what we know is true. He says, let our love be without hypocrisy. We are to abhor or hate that which is evil, and we're to cleave to that which is good. And we're to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And God goes on to show us what it looks like to do what we know is right in the eyes of God. Well, what should I do? What should I do, preacher? What is it that God wants me to do? Well, he tells us right there. Verse 11, he says, not slothful in business. He says, you know what? The believer who is bound to God by his faith in God, he says, you can't be lazy, not in your job. You got to be looking to do all things for the glory of God. He says, you got to be fervent in spirit. You got to be serving the Lord in everything. That's what he says. In everything that we do, we are to be serving the Lord. We're rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And I tell you what, I need to get going, but I'm going to tell you one of the things that God has been working on me this week is about verse number 14. Blessing them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. He has been working on me about that this week. You know that what God is showing us is about the responsibility to love. Love our neighbors. To love them like we love ourselves. And you know that there's nothing that we wouldn't do for ourselves. There's nothing. You think about it. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing that I wouldn't do for myself. I'll edit that from the CD. But my wife said amen. But you know that the truth of it is what God has been working on me about is this. Is that, you know, those who are without Christ, they are in complete opposition to themselves. Amen. And even when they persecute us, you know, they're persecuting us because they don't want to come clean with the fact that we know who Christ is and they need to know him. You know what God has been saying to me? Don't get mad at them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Serve them. Reach out to them. Bless them. Don't curse them. Verse 15, he says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Same point. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Man, we want to, don't we? I'll show you. I'll get you. But God says, you know that's not right.
Amen.
You know it's not right. Don't conform. Be transformed. He says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, then you feed him. Why? Because that's what God did for you. If he thirst, give him drink. Why? Because that's what God did for you. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How will we do that? Not conforming, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We know that Christ loves us. And we know that to be the truth. And we know the condition that we were in when God expressed his love towards us. And we have a responsibility as believers to love in like manner and to be active in the practice of our faith. That's what John was doing with the elect lady. He was reaching out to her. He says, you know God like I know God. And people all over this area, he said, are praying for you, giving thanks for you because of your faith and the faith of your children in Jesus Christ our Savior. What a testimony. What a testimony. One more thing about this and we'll move on. Look at you're in Romans 12. Flip over to Romans 13, page 838. I want to show you one more thing about this responsibility and God's expectations on us as we are bound by what we know to be true. In Romans 13, skip down to verse number 8. Here's God's call to believers again. He says, we're to owe no man anything but to love one another. There's a debt we need to always be in for everybody. Owe him nothing but to love him. Wow. You think about what God is saying there. That's what you need to owe a man. You need to owe him nothing but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. He says, and that's what we're bound to. That's the fraternity of believers, those who are following faithfully after God. He says, all these things. He says, you know what? I can't do these things to another if I love them. Because I'm bound to love them because of my relationship with Christ. Verse 10, he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And that's what made me think about the traditions, the superstitions, the things that mama used to do and daddy used to do, the things that are against the word of God. He says we got to get rid of those things and we got to cast them off. And instead, we got to put on the armor of light. He says, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We are bound, people, by what we know to be true. And then we are bound to do what we know to be true. So John, when he wrote to the elect lady, he congratulated her on doing what she knew was right. For staying true to the word of God. And he says, and we all love you and we rejoice that you have been faithful to do what God has called upon you to do. Now he says, we are bound to do what we know to be true. Let's go back to 2 John 1 again. 2 John 1 verse 5. He says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. First, we are bound by what we know to be true, that Jesus is love. Then we're bound to do what we know to be true, to love one another. And I believe that when the unbelieving population cannot see Jesus Christ in the flesh, then they can see us going and acting in His stead. And that's what God is calling upon us to do. He's calling upon us to display what it means to really be a believer. Now, I want to show you a few things in John. We're going to jump around in John a little bit because I believe that we get to see a good picture of what it looks like to follow the commandment of God and to walk in it. So let's start in John chapter 13. That's on page 793 in your pew Bibles. We'll start at John 13. We'll jump over to 14 shortly thereafter. John chapter 13, skip down to verse number 33. So what does it look like to do what we know to be true? So that when the world looks at us, so that when a believing brother and sister looks at us, if they were to write a letter back to us, what would they say to us? What would they say to me? Well, John in John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 3, here's what the Bible says. This is Christ talking. He says, little children, yet a little while and I'm with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now he's telling us that to relate one to another isn't the evidence that we are believers, because we all relate to people every day. You know, we interact with people all the time. He's saying that's not the evidence. The evidence that we are believers in Christ, that we are His, is when we love one another the way that He loved us. That we are kind to one another, that we are tender-hearted towards one another, that we bless when others curse us. And you say, now, when did Christ do that? Well, there are so many examples when Christ did that. You know, you think about the times when he was among people who had a mob mentality. And when he had an opportunity to call down a legion of angels, he could have destroyed them all. He could have spoke death to them all. He could have spoke blindness to them all. Instead, he didn't. He loved them. When he had thousands of people following after him, some seeking after the truth and some just seeking after seeking. The Bible says he had compassion on them. And he said, do you have any food for these people? And he fed them. He had compassion on them. He said, sit down, let's have a meal. Well, you know what? He's given us the pattern. He says, how will men know that we are believers? If I look like the guy on the street who doesn't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, if I talk like him, if I act like him, then God says, then how will you know? How will they know? How will they know who to follow after? Well, God is telling us that we are bound to do what we know to be true. That's what John was writing to the elect lady. That's what Christ was speaking to the people. He says, how will they know? They won't know except we love one another. Now skip over to John 14. Page 794, this time down to verse number 15. So he has told us that we're to love one another. We're to love just like he loved. That we're to be forgiving as he's been forgiving. And he says they'll know you by the way you love. Now in John chapter 14, this time verse 15, he says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall also live. Ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will make myself known to him. And if I could go a little further, and the world will know that he is mine and I'm his. This whole concept of love is a serious thing. I don't think we could ever study it enough. I don't think we could ever understand it. I think when the Lord comes, we'll still be working on how it is that I might love as he loved me. And I think we need to spend a little time thinking about how much he loved me. You know, he loves us beyond salvation. He loves us enough to forgive us when we do things that we know we ought not to. When we deserve a good cursing. And instead he forgives us and he blesses us. Amen. And that is the heart that God is trying to get through to us. And I think we need to really dwell on that. Sometimes I think I need to think more about myself. I'm not saying that I need to be more selfish, because I'm pretty good at that. But I'm saying I need to think more about who I am and how much I need Christ. Every day. Amen. Every day. And what he does for me every day. The forgiveness that I require every day. And then I'll be able to interact with people the way that God interacts with me. Every day. Every day. That's the cross I think we need to pick up every day. The cross to love as he loved us. Now, he wants our love to be one of action. He wants our love to be one of action. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. It's on page 900. 1 John chapter 2. He's given us the commandment. Just as John gave the commandment to the elect lady, he said, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, lady. But I'm telling you, we got to continually love one another. Walking after the commandments of God. Doing as God would have us to do. In his first letter, he spoke of love in action this way. 1 John chapter 2, just a few verses beginning at verse number 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation or payment for our sins, and not for ours only. This is what God tells us about the commandment to love. He says he's the payment for our sins. But his love goes beyond you and I and our sins, goes beyond those who know him today, because he's extending that love to all people. He says, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And if God is capable of forgiving the sins of the whole world, are you and I not capable of forgiving the sins of the one or two people that we interact with? That's his command, that we love. He says, and hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. How do we know that we know Christ? Amen. That it is our heart's desire that we walk in his way, following his commandment. He says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The true light now shines in us, and we are bound to the commandments of God because of our love for our Father and His Word. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Almost done. How about now? Now, I told you we were going to jump around John a little bit. Let's go back to John 15. John 15. That's on page 794. So God is showing us what the truth, how the truth transforms us. When John wrote to the elect lady, he said he loved her in the truth. He was not singular in his love for her. He said, but everyone who knows the truth, they love you too. And they love you for the sake of the truth. Because it is God's command. Because God dwells in us. And God's going to be with us forever. So he says, all right. Now, how do we display that? And in John chapter 15... here again, Christ is speaking to us about His command for us. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, how are we going to be fruit bearers? By loving our neighbors as ourselves. He says, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Now, this is a command. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now you continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He says, you know what? We can have real joy in our lives when we learn how to love as Christ loved us. You know, I think that this might be the best This might be the answer to stress in all of our lives. You know, stress is created when other people kind of rock our world. That's how stress is created. But if we decide that we're going to do things God's way, I think that we'll find that we'll have a lot of less stress in our lives. He says, I'm speaking to you so that your joy might be full, so that you might have my joy in your life. And how can I do that? By loving as He loved us, by forgiving as He forgave us. Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. We're bound to do what we know is true, because the truth has revealed it to us. He says, we're his friends, if we will do what He commands us. And God shifts the relationship so that we might understand that it's not about rituals, but it's about relationship. And He says here, I'm not going to call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He said, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. All things, you see that all things rest with that love one for another. All things rest with that love one for another. And we got to do what we know is the commandment of God, the commandment of God that He has placed on our lives. Almost done. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, page 873. I want you to understand that God's call for us to love is a forever commandment. And God's expectation is that we will live and walk in that commandment to love one another. It's a forever commandment. It's a forever commandment that we will live and walk in that command to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, he says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now he's going to establish that it is for us to be a forever commandment to walk up to God. He says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. He says, how can you despise if you're walking in the love of God? He says, because when we begin to despise men, guess what we're saying? God's not able. That one God can't save. I don't want him. I don't like him. I despise him. Set him aside. He says, you know what we're doing? We're despising God. We're calling him unable to do what he's declared himself to be more than able to do. He says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. It's forever. You can't ever get a handle on it. We need to keep on doing it. He says, and that you study to be quiet, and you do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you, that ye walk honestly, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. As believers, we are bonded together. And we are to work together to evidence to the lost and dying among us that there is a God in heaven who loves them and is calling out to them to be saved. Not for our glory, but for his. You know, we love them, not so that they can praise us, but so that they can praise our God. And so that they can duplicate our love. That's what God says. He wants us to be fruit bearers. You know, what's the fruit that we bear? The fruit is that I was able to duplicate. Duplicate. You know, anything that's alive ought to be growing. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be growing for the Lord. And you know what? That doesn't mean that every time, just as has already been shared today, that, you know, we share the gospel, we share it with great expectation, we share praying that God will save that person that we share with, but it doesn't always work that way. But God says to us that we need to be doing it over and over and over and over and over and over so that our love for the people might increase the more and the more. We are bonded together. Let's close out in Colossians chapter 1. We started there. Let's go back there and close out there. Colossians 1, page 869. That whole chapter is an awesome one. We'll just read a little bit of it here. But Colossians chapter 1, we'll start at verse number 19. But you recall when we began that same chapter, Paul expressed, as John expressed for this dear lady, how that he loved the people, the church at Colossus, because he had heard of their great faith and their faithfulness in God. He had heard of their love for all the saints. And he encouraged them to carry on in this love that they had for the Lord, that they might walk worthy, so that they might be an example to those who are without, to those who are outside of the faith of Christ. And I believe it only fitting to show you how Paul finished that conversation with the church there at Colossus. In verse number 19, he says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," speaking of Christ, "should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Remember I said sometimes I need to think about who I am. Well, that's what Paul was saying there. He says, all right, think about who God is. And think about who you are. And think about what he's done. He says he has reconciled you. He says in the body, verse 22, of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to fulfill the word of God. Now, I want you to know that we're no different from Paul. That just as God reconciled Paul, God has also reconciled you and I. And God has called upon you and I to make the commitment to do what we know is true, which is to continue in our faith, grounded and settled in the word of God. His command. What is his command? What is the greatest command? That you love one another. Amen. That you love one another. He says we need to continue in that faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away. Not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. That means if I tell one and they don't rejoice with me, don't move away from the gospel. Just move away from that one and find yourself another one. Amen. God says that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be so committed, so bound to him and to his word. Paul says God has shown him great things about himself. He said God made him a minister. And God has given him a purpose to fulfill his word. In verse 26, he says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's the mystery? What's been God's purpose all the time? What is it that has been God's desire from the very beginning of creation, I believe? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. From the very beginning, what did he say? I'm going to send you a Savior, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And here's the living out of the commandment to love. How do we love them? He says, here it is, whom we preach. We preach Christ. How do we show them that we love him? He says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wow. That's the definition of love right there. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, that we may warn them, that we may teach them, that ultimately we may present them, every man, perfect in Christ Jesus. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I'm bound. I got to do it. I can't help it. And we need to get the same kind of can't help it's as Paul had, as John wrote to the elect lady, that she should stand fast in the truth and walk in love and live in love, keeping the commandments of our Father. That's the believer's bond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for your gracious word, we're thankful today. Lord, I pray that it might be impressed upon each one of us the importance to love one another. As you love us and as we love ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd impress upon us the the principle that we ought to learn how to bless those who curse us. How we ought to love those who persecute us. With one purpose in mind, Lord, that is as through our love that we might teach them, that we might present those who oppose themselves even, Lord, that we might one day present them unto you as a perfect man, changed, transformed by the power of your word. Lord, I believe in my heart that there's no one on this earth that you cannot reach. And I pray, Lord, that we might take on that same attitude as we go forth with the word of God. Let them know us by our love, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.